Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. This is from the Message translation. When they neared Jerusalem, having arrived at Bethphage on Mount Olives, Jesus sent two disciples with these instructions. Go over to the village across from you. You'll find a donkey tethered there, her colt with her. Untie her and bring them to me. If anyone asks what you're doing, say, the master needs them. He will send them with you. This is the full story of what was sketched earlier by the prophet. Tell Zion's daughter, look, your king's on his way, poised and ready, mounted on a donkey, on a colt, foal of a pack animal. The disciples went and did exactly what Jesus told them to do. They led the donkey and colt out, laid some of their clothes on them, and Jesus mounted. Nearly all the people in the crowd threw their garments down on the road, giving him a royal welcome. Others cut branches from the trees and threw them down as a welcome mat. Crowds went ahead and crowds followed, all of them calling out, Hosanna to David's son. Blessed is he who comes in God's name. Hosanna in highest heaven. As he made his entrance into Jerusalem, the whole city was shaken. Unnerved, people were asking, what's going on here? Who is this? The crowd answered, this is the prophet Jesus, the one from Nazareth in Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. We praise you, O God, for redeeming the world through our Savior Jesus Christ. Today he entered the holy city in triumph and was proclaimed Messiah and King by those who spread garments and branches along his way. Bless these branches and those who carry them. Grant us grace to follow our Lord in the way of the cross, so that joined to his death and resurrection, we enter into life with you through the same Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us go forth in peace in the name of Christ. Amen.
Good morning and welcome to Palm Sunday. We want to thank Joe Davis for providing our message today. A couple announcements. May the 16th, we will be holding a cow bingo at the ball field beginning at 10 a.m. If you need tickets, contact myself, Crystal, Lynn Dennis, or Chip Blower, Jane DeBonaventura, Donnie Parsons, or Joe Davis. On the 23rd, May the 23rd, there'll be a motorcycle ride hosted by Wendy Lohr to benefit the BAC program. Also on May the 23rd, there'll be a lemonade stand hosted by Gracie and Gavin to benefit the backpack program also. If you have sent in a check for an Easter lily, they have not been deposited and the order has not been made. The checks will be mailed back to you unless you direct the church office otherwise. Please contact the church office with any questions concerning the Easter Lily checks. Holly Grove Lutheran Church will not be holding Maundy Thursday or Good Friday services this week. I will send out a Google Groups message with links that you can go on to and participate in those services. Do I have birthdays for today, please? Happy birthday to Sarah Grace Davis, Corbin Rose, Marvin Smith, Lori Cecil, Owen Stewart, and happy anniversary to Bill and Dottie Curry. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in our hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. As we now enter into the contemplation of the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ and meditate on the salvation of the world through his sufferings, death, burial, and resurrection, let us pray. O God of mercy and might, in the mystery of the passion of your Son, you offer your infinite life to the world. Gather us around the cross of Christ and preserve us until the resurrection through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Come down. Keep you separated a little bit, but All right, so this morning we walked in. We had a parade. Have you ever been in a parade before? It's kind of fun, isn't it? Get to wave at people calling your name out, things like that. You get to see family, so forth. Well, Jesus entered the city of Jerusalem in a parade. He was welcomed. He was cheered. He heard Hosanna. Okay? But when we get to our gospel reading here in a few minutes, all that changed. So all those people that were in the crowd, that were happy, that were laying their robes down, that were waving the palms, all of a sudden turned against him. And sometimes in our lives, we have that. Have you ever had anybody say something that wasn't true and you got in trouble for it? Maybe that hits too close to home since there's only two of them up here. Okay, so how did you feel? Maybe somebody at school or something said something that wasn't true about you or something. You probably felt bad. Did you say anything back? You didn't? Well, that's good, because most of the time we would react to that. Well, Jesus was mocked. He was jeered. So we went from cheers to jeers. And he didn't respond to any of it. He let all of that happen. He took the responsibility for all of us. He didn't have to, but he wanted to. So sometimes when somebody makes you upset, they say something about you that's not necessarily true, or blame you for something that you didn't do, sometimes it's better to just let it go. Go ahead and take that responsibility and then move forward. Okay? So today's gospel, we're going to hear about that. And at the very end of that gospel, though, we're going to hear some great news because of what Jesus did. All right, let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for taking the blame for us. Thank you for stepping up, for showing up. So that we could be resurrected and saved. In your holy name, amen. All right, thank you guys.
A reading from Isaiah. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen as those who were taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me. Therefore I have been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me, who will declare me guilty. The word of the Lord. The psalm for today is Psalm 31, verses 9 through 16. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eyes waste away from grief, my soul and body also. For my life is spent with sorrow, and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my misery, and my bones waste away. I am the scorn of all my adversaries, a horror to my neighbors, an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. I have passed out of mind like one who is dead. I have become like a broken vessel. For I hear the whispering of many, terror all around, as they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my life. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and persecutors. Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. The second reading is from Philippians. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of the Lord.
The Gospel of the Passion according to Matthew. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You say so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he did not answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many accusations they make against you?" But he gave him no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the festival, the governor was accustomed to release a prisoner for the crowd, anyone whom they wanted. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Jesus Barabbas. So after they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Jesus Barabbas, or Jesus who is called the Messiah?" For he realized that it was out of jealousy that they had handed him over. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that innocent man, for today I have suffered a great deal because of a dream about him." Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus killed. The governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what should I do with Jesus who is called the Messiah?" All of them said, "Let him be crucified." Then he asked, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he could do nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took some water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." Then the people as a whole answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." So he released Barabbas for them, and after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on his head. They put a reed in his right hand and knelt before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. After mocking him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they came upon a man from Cyrene named Simon. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull, they offered him wine to drink, mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his clothes among themselves by casting lots. Then they sat down there and kept watch over him. Over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two bandits were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads, saying, "You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now, if he wants to, for he said, 'I am God's son.'" The bandits who were crucified with him also taunted him in the same way. From noon on, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And about 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "This man is calling for Elijah." At once one of them ran and got a sponge filled with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink. But the others said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." Then Jesus cried again with a loud voice and breathed his last. At that moment the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. After his resurrection, they came out of the tombs and entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now when the centurion and those with him were keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were terrified and said, "Truly, this man was God's son." The Gospel of the Lord. Be seated. Morning, would you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be with you from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This morning, our processional gospel began with our traditional Palm Sunday, waving the palms, processing in, and we have an arrangement of the palms down front today for that, since not too many people were able to partake in our parade, but we know you are here in thought. So little Johnny hardly ever missed church. But he was sick. Couldn't make it to church. So his mom stayed at home with him. His dad went to church. It was Palm Sunday. So an hour and a half later, dad comes home and he's got a palm. And he's walking around with the palm. And Johnny said, "Dad, what is that thing?" And his dad said, "Well, Johnny, this is a palm branch. Today at church, we celebrated Palm Sunday." Johnny said, "Well, what is Palm Sunday?" His dad went on to say, "Well, Johnny, that's the Sunday week before the week of Jesus' death, where when he came into the city of Jerusalem, crowds cheered. There was a big parade for him. He rode in on a donkey, and they waved the palms and said, 'Hosanna,' and welcomed him. It was a big celebration." Okay, so why did you have one at church today? Well, like I said, when Jesus came, we wanted to be waving our palms. Dad looked at Johnny, and Johnny just looked disheartened, sad, upset. His dad said, "Well, Johnny, what's wrong?" "Well, Dad, the one Sunday I'm sick and Jesus shows up." Well, Jesus did show up, not just in the procession of the palms. Jesus showed up at what we would in human life call the end, on the cross. So today, both being Palm Sunday and Sunday of the Passion of our Lord, we usually do hear about that heralded entry and how exciting that is, and the smiles and happiness. And I always remember fondly Palm Sunday. I was sitting in that back pew. I was smacking my grandpa in the face with it all the time. If he was asleep, I was waking him up with it. Okay, and luckily, I didn't get backhanded off the pew. But the gospel reading that I just read has to be the saddest story in the Bible. Sometimes when I read it, it moves me to tears, imagining Jesus being mocked, being spit on, being stripped, being flogged, being called in jest King of the Jews. If we didn't know better in this story, we would believe that Jesus was powerless. If we didn't know better, we would think that Jesus' ministry was a failure at this point. Jesus did show up. But why like this? Since Christmas, we've heard many stories about Jesus showing up. We met John the Baptist in the wilderness, eating locust and wild honey and wearing animal skins and proclaiming that the one who follows him will be greater than he. We met the men called to be his disciples. We met the woman at the well where Jesus tells of living water. We met the sisters, Mary and Martha. We met the blind man and hear Jesus say that he is the light of the world. Last week we met Lazarus, brother of Mary and Martha, and hear Jesus tell them that he is the resurrection and the life. All of these stories of Jesus are quite different than today's gospel. Jesus, God become man, knew what was to come. He knew of the suffering. He knew that he was going to have to bear this alone. So why did he allow this to happen? Why was the Son of God willing to be put to shame, to be traded out for the release of a prisoner named Barabbas, to be mocked, to be robed and stripped, to be beaten, spit upon, ridiculed with a crown of thorns, and executed like a criminal? Why does God allow this to happen? Well, it may be hard to understand sometimes why suffering is necessary. Jesus knew all that was going on, all that was going to happen since he had turned his face to Jerusalem some weeks before. He knew the scriptures would be fulfilled from the Old Testament, and he also chose that fate to die. Today we continue to deal with the changes in our lives due to health crisis. We hear that possibly over 100,000 may die from COVID-19. We see the numbers afflicted continue to grow. And as of yesterday, the peak in North Carolina is estimated to come somewhere around April 16th, is what they estimate. Our daily lives, our church life, for sure has been changed. Our school lives, our work lives, and things we do at play and in our leisure time have all changed. Just in our school system, the past 3 weeks alone, we've made changes seemingly every single day regarding staff, students, how we deliver content, how we pick up content from the students, how we deliver meals. Parents, students, teachers, and administrators ask when this will end so we can return to normal. We're a needy group of people, aren't we? We need to know why. We ask why bad things happen to us, and we ask why would God allow such suffering to happen? It's because we're human, just like those in the gospel today. The words we hear today are disheartening coming from the people. From the scriptures, over his head, this is the King of the Jews. Save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. He saved others. He cannot save himself. If he comes down from the cross and saves himself, we will believe in him. I'd like to think that we'd be ashamed to have acted and said what these people have done, especially to a man as great as Jesus. Much the same, though, we do act in ways that we'd not see as being very Christian. Yes, we're like some of the characters in Matthew's gospel. We cheer, then we jeer. We judge, we turn on each other. We stray, we focus on things that show our weaknesses and that we are captive to sin. Again, why? Why? Because it is in times like these that God comes to us just like he did through the life and death of Jesus. He comes to us in times of difficulty, in our weakness, in times when we are the most vulnerable, but not necessarily the way we want God to come to us. Even so, God does come to us in those times of weakness and distress to redeem our sins and accept us as we are, broken, humbled, and when we feel most unloved. And when we feel alone and abandoned, much the way Jesus must have felt as he faced the trial, being beaten, mocked, and swapped for the criminal Barabbas by the Jews. So why, we ask? The answer is simple. Because Jesus was not powerless, as seen by the Romans and the chief priests. He was the solution to the problems of the world, both then and now. He holds all power, the power to heal, the power to carry our burdens, the power to redeem our sins and claim victory on the cross. He's the reason that we don't have to wait for better days to come. Just as Matthew kind of skipped to the resurrection ahead of time and gave us a foretaste of Easter, we can do our best to break the chains of sin and death and to move to new life and the resurrection. So God does come to us through Jesus. The good, the bad, and everyone in between. He invites us to live in him. Why? Is it because we deserve it? Certainly not. We can never deserve the grace of God that renews our faith and that he provides for us. But with God, we can show up and be of help and hope to those in need, whether it be physically, mentally, or spiritually. So we can be glad and rejoice that Jesus showed up for us and shared his power over death. We can hope to react in the same way the centurion and the people watching over Jesus reacted when they said, "Truly, this man was God's son." Amen.
Let us confess our faith with the use of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father, Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life lasting. Amen.
Turning our hearts to God, who is gracious and merciful, we pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. God of mercy, you entered triumphantly into the city, fully knowing your path of death and resurrection. Strengthen our resolve to love one another, to live in your light, and share your good news to those who do not know your light. Lord, in your mercy. God of mercy, awaken your church to new proclamations of your faithfulness. By your Spirit, give us bold and joyful words to speak, that we sustain the weary with the message of your redemption. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of mercy, quiet the earth where it trembles and shakes. Protect vulnerable ecosystems, threatened habitats, and endangered species. Prosper the work of scientists, engineers, and researchers who find ways to restore creation to health and wholeness. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of mercy, drive away fear and anger that cause us to turn against one another. Give courage to leaders who seek liberation for the oppressed. Bring peace and hope to those who are in prison and those who face execution. Lord, in your mercy, God of mercy, send your saving help to all who suffer abuse, insult, discrimination, or contempt. Heal the wounded, comfort the dying, bring peace to those suffering chronic or terminal illness. Tend to all who are in need of your healing and comfort, especially Burnett, Gary, Walter, Aldine, Teresa, Jean, Dwight, Steve, Tina, Randy, Carrie, Libby, Barbara, Mary, Joe, Brian, Bill, Robert, Gary, Claston, Kenneth, Charlotte, Lynn, Kay, Randy, Tommy, Eva Ray, David, Clyde, Pauline, the Pless family, Brooke, Edwina, Banks, family of Regina Mize Warren, our servicemen and women all over the world, and those who are unemployed and looking for work. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of mercy, as our local, state, and national governments and citizens face uncertainty due to COVID-19, continue to give us the wisdom to act appropriately as we do our best to stay at home so that we can protect not only our health, but the health of others. Thank you for the responders, healthcare workers, and caretakers working to stem the tide of this illness. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of mercy, we pray for all who will prepare and lead alternative worship services in this holy week. In all things, show us the ways that you call us to die to self, to live for you, and to give of ourselves for the sake of others. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of mercy, when we breathe our last, you raise us to eternal life. With all your witnesses in heaven and on earth, let us boldly confess the name of Jesus Christ, our resurrection and our hope. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. According to your steadfast love, O God, hear these and all our prayers as we commend them to you through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now at this time, I'd just like to share the peace. Peace be with you.
Let us pray. O God of justice and love, we give thanks to you that you illumine our way through life with the words of your Son. Give us the light we need, awaken us to the needs of others, and at the end bring all the world to your feast through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Cite our mission statement. As united people under God, the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. Go in peace, serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.